make it worse because it can lead to inflation.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully the auto industry turns around a little bit. Maybe this will help them out, you know. Of course, that's 780,000, 750,000 vehicles that should have been bought, you know, normally. And this is all artificial, actually.
Yeah, let's see. You'll probably have a huge drop, though, in the next quarter.
I'm sure, yeah. Yesterday, we came across a story about the number of arrests for the seatbelt usage law, which went into effect. Was it a couple of months ago when that went into effect?
July 1st.
And we had talked about it the first time when it was announced, and a great idea where you can get a ticket just specifically for seatbelt, not wearing your seatbelt. But there's some confusion out there right now about that. I thought maybe you can clarify a little bit. Does a passenger also get a ticket if they're not wearing a seatbelt?
Everybody in the car.
Oh, so it's everybody in the car.
Yep. You have to have your seatbelt on when you're in a motor vehicle. And it's always been mandatory. It's been mandatory in Wisconsin. It was just that law enforcement couldn't pull you over solely for not wearing your seatbelt. So there shouldn't be too much confusion. Before July 1st, you were supposed to have your seatbelt on at all times in a motor vehicle, and you still do. But now the added kick is that law enforcement can pull you over and cite solely for that violation. But I saw a story yesterday about how the state patrol, the number of seatbelt violations, solely for seatbelt violations, has gone up exponentially. I question that use of that tactic is, you know, with these expensive resources, and I'm not suggesting it's not important. However, you know, you have to prioritize what you want to enforce on the road. You can't enforce everything. And, you know, the things that we do are we enforce those that, you know, are leading to crashes. Not wearing a seatbelt doesn't lead to a crash, but if you get in one at a high rate of speed, you're going to be ejected from the vehicle. And what really kills you is not so much being ejected from the vehicle, but then the car rolls over you.
Yeah.
And you get crushed to death. So, you know, the smartest thing to do, and the studies bear this out, the survival rate of serious injury or death if you're wearing a seatbelt is, you know, pretty high. So why fight the odds? Why thumb your nose at the research? It's just a smart thing to do. But from an enforcement standpoint, you know, reckless driving,
sure,
inattentive driving, drunk driving, those are the sorts of things that are our highest priorities. And, of course, if you don't have your seatbelt on, in addition to that, we cite for that as well. So that's kind of what we try to do with this thing is, you know, we get a more serious violation and you don't have your seatbelt on, it's another kicker. Now, the thing with the seatbelt law, I think it's only a $10 fine.
Yeah.
And if you go to court, they're even lowering it from there. So I wonder how important the state thinks it is if you know, the fine is so low. So,
this is my father-in-law. Okay, I'm going to play my father-in-law, Al. Okay, I don't like those seat belts, and you know, especially the one strap that goes around my shoulder, and I don't like that. So I take that strap off, and I have the lap belt on me. That's good enough. Is that good enough, or no?
Not good enough.
Okay, I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him that. The sheriff says you got to put that strap over your shoulder.
Shoulder strap and the lap belt.
Very good. Very good. More importantly, I know you're going to be cracking down more on DUI in the next couple of weeks. Tell us about that.
That is the biggest threat facing motor vehicle drivers on our roadways all across America. And the thing that makes it worse is the fact that you could be totally sober driving down the street. You can get struck and killed by someone in another vehicle that's drunk or intoxicated. So, you know, we put together a multi-jurisdictional task force. As a matter of fact, it has been highlighted by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, as well as the state agency, as a best practice. So it's getting some recognition as the way to go about this thing. It's a combination of a lot of municipalities that have joined in with us. And what we do is we try to tighten the noose. The sheriff's office focus on the freeway, and at the same time, the surrounding suburban communities that adjoin or that run parallel to the freeway system, they cover the city streets at the same time, so there's really no escape. You know, sometimes people will pick up on the fact that we're running an operation on the freeway, and they'll try to take side streets home, and then vice versa. You know, if they see that a community is running a drunk driving operation, they might say, well, let's take the freeway because the city streets are hot right now. And I don't mind telling people we have an enforcement action going. I don't believe that with this sort of thing you have to play hide and seek. It's amazing the number of people who still take that risk, engage in that risky behavior of driving impaired. So if we let them know, and it takes a few people that say, hey, not tonight, you know, then, because we're about saving lives and making the roadways a safer place to drive in Milwaukee County. So our education effort is important as well. And I think that if we put it out, we're going to run a multi-jurisdictional task force, you know, this weekend, and people curb their that type of behavior. That's a good thing. I like it when we get to a day where it's hard to find people intoxicated, but we're just not there yet.
I was watching the reports last night on TV that there's a section of 94. Is that just this side of Waukesha on that border? You call that Death Valley. Quite a few accidents right in that area. Huh?
Death Valley, and I named it that because in 2007, 70% of drunk driving related fatalities happened in that stretch. So if you were, on that roadway between the hours of 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., you're likely to come upon a drunk driver. And so it's a very dangerous stretch of the freeway system, and it's based on crashes that are drunk driving-related, fatalities, and our enforcement efforts.
Some good stuff. Well, let's switch gears a little real quickly, and I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan, but I wanted to get your thoughts about the Packer team this year. Hey, you got to admit, it looks good. Huh? I know you're a Dallas fan because of family.
Right.
Family only. But in your heart, because, because a lot of your friends are Packer fans, you have to say, hey, this is going to be a good year.
The reason I chuckle.
Too early?
Yeah, I don't put much stock in preseason. We'll see. Week one.
Yeah.
They got the Bears. Big rivalry.
Well, that'll be a good one. Sunday night game.
That's when it all counts.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of optimism in Green Bay. There's no doubt about that. We'll see, though. You know, what's that saying? It's why they play the game.
I know. We say it was Cleveland and Buffalo was on their off game.
Yeah. T.O. didn't play.
That's true. Well, it's always good to have you in the studios. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Wear those seatbelts. 726 at the Wolf.
Ahoy there.
Hey, buddy. Glad you could make it. Come on aboard.
I thought the two of